And if you're not on my weekly email list, feel free to add your email to those binders, and I will add you to the list. Yes, Laura. That you're both here today. Thank you, Laura, for doing that, saying that. Other announcements? Yes, Becky. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, Paige. Thank you. We had very low attendance for our hike today, so we are canceling that event. But we're going to do it again, and we'll give you more notice so that you'll have an opportunity to sign up for that. I wanted to share with you that we had a very unorthodox baptism out here on the lawn yesterday morning with a lovely family from Larkspur. Little girl and going into second grade, and a baby boy, Mark, and they have a lot of mold and allergies to spaces like ours, so we did it outside on the lawn, 9 family members. It was very special and very meaningful, and I just wanted to let you know that that happened. And then I just, in celebration of all of these wonderful birthdays this month, I especially want to lift up Joe Mann, who turned 95 yesterday, making her the oldest St. Luke member in our congregation. And that is something to be celebrated. Yes, yes. Any other birthdays in the month of August? 23rd, Jessica, August birthday, you, August, Elaine, Marsha, and Lily in August. August 12th, and Yvette in the back. So for all the August birthdays, I think we should go ahead and sing happy birthday. Are there any anniversaries we can lift up in August? Yes, Dennis? 31st. August 31st, anniversary. So, and Mike, anniversary? And Mary, wonderful. So we sing happy birthday, we sing happy anniversary, and then God bless you. So together, and happy birthday to you, happy anniversary to you, happy celebration, God bless you. Happy celebration to you. And all the people said, amen. A voice to be heard, a part in the song.
For just and unjust, a place at the table.
For everyone born, a place at the table.
For, and God will delight in your
presence. For everyone born, that's okay.
For everyone born, a place at the table.
Or the right to be free. And God will delight. We are creators. Let us worship God. Thank you, Michael. That's fine. Thank you. things that are not favorable in the eyes of God, it means that we are so grateful for that forgiveness, that it fosters a desire to do better. And by the grace of God, we will. Amen. is. Hey, Michael. Yeah. Michael, why don't you use the microphone for this one? Thank you. Thanks be to God. So for those that don't know, this summer I tried an experiment, and that was to preach without a manuscript. And I find myself in this very awkward position of trying to decide what to do today. Any votes? So I'm going to try, but it's right there. Like a security blanket. So one other announcement before we pray. I just wanted to remind everyone that on September 11th, we're having an in-gathering, a time of the year when we all gather back together after being gone on many vacations and travels. And we will have a potluck followed by a gathering of the minds around our mission and vision for the church. We'll be led by a consultant who's used to doing these things with congregations, Bruce Truitt. It's going to be a wonderful afternoon. And if anyone would like to head up creating a sign-up sheet for that potluck and having Joanne email that out, see me after worship in the narthex. I could use a little help with that event. And now let us pray together. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So today's scripture that you heard so eloquently put by Eugene Peterson in the Message, Jesus is teaching at a table, a banquet table to be specific, and Luke's gospel has more teachings of Jesus around a table in a banquet than any other gospel in the Bible. And there's a reason for this. Luke is specifically focusing on people who are excluded from society, those that would have no place at that table. That's an ongoing theme of Luke. We see it from the beginning. There's no room in the inn. So where does Jesus end up? He's born in a stable, in a manger, among the animals, the king in the lineage of David, born this way. And so the expectations are completely reversed in Luke's gospel, and he continues that with Mary's song, and the lowly will be exalted, and Zechariah, and it continues even more in Luke's gospel, constantly with the outcasts of society, the shepherds, those on the outs being included. All those expectations reversed. And ministers who are especially focused on social justice issues of the world will look specifically to Luke, sometimes as their favorite gospel, for this reason. And thanks be to God for those people doing the good work in the world. My focus is a little different. My focus is also at the table, but it's a slightly different experience of the table. It's the personal focus of the table. It's the kind of experience that comes when you sit down next to someone at a table and 3 hours later you know them better than when you began. Now, I'm not talking about small talk. I'm not a big fan of small talk. I have one friend who refers to small talk, the only thing being worse is a root canal. It's important to know where people are from and what they've done and whether they're married or have children, where they grew up. Those things, it's not that they're not important. But the things I remember from our time together are quite different. They're the things of your passion, the things that make your life, your face light up when you speak of them, how you make sense of yourself in the world in relationship to one another and to God. So what I remember more about you are things like my lunch with Jo Mann on Wednesday when she started talking about the snow in New England and she looked like a child. That's the kind of thing that I remember. Or when Gladys talks about God sitting on her shoulder like a little character. You know, her face lights up. Or the way that Laura makes anyone she speaks to the most important person in the room. Or the way John spoke of his love Patty, as though there was no greater love in the world than the love between the two of you. Or the way Kathleen is fiercely independent but needs a little push when it comes to relying on others. I could go on. I could say something about each of you that I've spent time with. Those are the things that I call fellowship in the church. And that's what I believe Jesus was pointing to when Jesus said, invite those people into your lives and into your heart, completely reversing the expectations, and don't expect to be repaid. This is an especially important lesson for you all to remember when you don't receive a thank you note from me. I'm not good at them. So it's important not to be repaid. And we spoke about that in our Thursday morning Bible study. It was a great group, a lively discussion, and I told a story in that group as we were recalling this idea of not needing to be repaid. What is our motivation for doing service in the world? And I recalled a story that I preached about once before, but since no one in the Bible study seemed to recall it, I thought I'd go ahead and take a chance with repeating it here. But it comes from a time at Westminster when I accompanied the youth of the church to Chicago, to one of the worst parts of Chicago, the kind of place where you could hear gunshots at night, where we didn't let the kids go out. So we stayed in the church, and each night we had a guest speaker. And Mama Brenda spoke to us first. She was a social activist. She was very involved in her church, and she was a poet. And the first thing Mama Brenda said to now what was about 150 teenagers was, why do you think you're here this week? Why do you think you're here? And they gave the usual answers. Well, I'm here to give back. I'm here to bring God's love. And Mama Brenda said, you don't think God's love lives here? What makes you think God's love doesn't live here with us? What makes you think that your problems are any better than our problems? Yeah, we have people who are hungry, but you have millionaires in your houses taking their own lives. Yeah, we have people who need housing, but you have teenagers cutting themselves. What makes you think your problems are any better than our problems? You're not here to serve us. You're not here to help us. You're not here to give back. You're here because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. End of story. And when we approach service with that kind of attitude, we share our lives. And anyone who has ever shared their life with people who are in need know that you end up getting back more than you went in expecting to give. That's called losing yourself in it. And that's what we heard in the scripture today. When we lose ourselves, we discover a new version of ourselves in Christ. And it comes with no expectations of a thank you, because your motivations are simply to love. Now, this approach can backfire on you. I know, because it happened to me recently. I also shared this in the Thursday morning Bible study class. I apologize to those who were in there. You can take a morning nap at this point. There's a favorite cafe of mine in San Anselmo. I love going there. It's the one down at the end of town. There's a portion of it that's outside, and I like to sit there often. And the people that work there tend to be quite cranky and cold. And so I have convinced myself that, well, they just need a little push. So every time I go in, I up the ante. And so now I come in. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. How are you doing today? As Jean McKechnie said, they're probably see me coming, rolling their eyes and saying, here she comes again. Well, it wasn't working. And on Friday, after Bible study, I met Charlotte there for lunch. And I got discouraged. I wanted so badly for them to return my hospitality. That's my way of being thanked. That's my ego getting in the way. I wanted so badly for them to see I was one of the good guys. I used to be a waitress. I was a bartender. I'm not one of those privileged Marin moms who treat people like the hired help. I know what it is to be you. Return my hospitality with a, hey, how are you? But they didn't, and I gave up. And I went in, and I ordered my two salads, two Caesars, one with chicken. I didn't say anything. I didn't say, hi, how are you? I just ordered the salads. But I knew that she knew me as the crazy, enthusiastic lady. So I looked at her a little more carefully, waiting for a response. And sure enough, she said quietly, hi, how are you today? And when I looked, I noticed this was not a cranky person. This was not a judgy person. This was simply a really shy, self-conscious person. And it took my stepping back and meeting her energetically and expecting nothing in return to make a connection. And what a gift from God that was. God reverses the order of things. Jesus reverses the order of things. When we walk around quoting our resumes, that's not the world that God looks for in us. God wants to know how kind you've been to your neighbor, how much love you're exuding. I am not starstruck. I never have been. I used to kick John under the table when he would start gawking at people that would walk into restaurants. If Meryl Streep walked in here tomorrow and you all started gawking, I'd elbow you and say, she's just good at her job. I have no idea how she treats her family or friends. That's the kind of stuff that God asks us to do first. And invite those who are on the outskirts, the lame, the crippled, the poor, bring them to your table. Get to know them. And finally, I this week met with Bruce, the man that's going to lead our September 11th gathering, and we looked at the PowerPoint that you all had a part in when you filled out a survey about what you wanted the pastor nominating committee to hire in a minister. I had never seen it before. I was fascinated by how much division there was. There's really, on social issues like abortion and gay marriage and things that people don't talk about at the dinner table. And there is division around whether or not you want your preacher to preach politics. There's division around all of these things. And yet, this congregation has held this church together through many ministers, through no ministers, and you have continued to come to this table and love one another and respect one another in ways that I had no idea that I would find the kind of answers that I found in that PowerPoint. How wonderful that we are practicing in this church what we should be doing in the world. And maybe you are, and hopefully you are. But that is the hope for any church, that our church or anybody's church becomes a micro version of what we do in the world. And so I applaud you and I encourage you to take that same kind of love, that same kind of acceptance, and extend it with no expectation of a thank you to those who need a little help, those that need you to share your life and your love with them, because you are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we share our love with one another. And when we do that, we share God. They're interchangeable. And the lowly will be exalted, and the exalted will be humbled. Amen. And we bring our prayers of the people out loud and witness with one another and before God. And so I ask you now for prayers of concerns, prayers of joys. Yes, Mike. Prayers for your father nearing the end of his life as you travel. Prayers for you as well through this difficult time. Our hearts are with you. Yeah. Others? Yes, Ben.
Thank you for not talking politics.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Other prayers? Yes, Paige.
I am awaiting the birth of my niece. It should be any day now.
Yeah, prayers of celebration for new life. How wonderful. An exciting time. Yes, Marcia. Prayers for Patty as she ends maybe the end of her life and wants to be around to celebrate her life with others. I had a similar conversation with Marty Griffin, who's 96 now, I believe, and he's considering the same kind of thing. The prayers for them both. Yes, I saw a hand. Yes. Nice. Prayers of celebration for grandbabies and babies everywhere. What a joy they bring to our lives. Others. I'll lift up prayers for Mike and Laura and for you. John, our hearts are with you as you mourn the loss of Patty, the love of your life, and for you as you navigate through this time of grieving. Continued prayers, Mary, for your sister. Continued prayers for Diane, Connor's niece. Diane traveled this week to be with her. Continued prayers for you, Kathleen. Where'd she go? She stepped out. Well, continued prayers for Kathleen as she undergoes radiation treatment for her T-cell lymphoma. Prayers for Jane and Al, and prayer of thanksgiving To Jan Smith, for all she does for Jane and Al, as Al came home from a procedure on his face and was not cooperating, and Jane asked me to pray, and he's cooperating now, thanks be to God, so it's good. Continued prayers for the Gettler family as they mourn their son. I could go all day. prayers for all of you and your many struggles, and prayers of joy for your many remembrances of what this wonderful life brings us in both the sorrow and the joy. Let us pray together, and as we do, I invite you to respond to Lord in your mercy by saying, Lord, hear our prayer. Holy God, we offer these prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, asking for you to hear our prayer. We pray for this church that you might lead us into fellowship with one another in a world where the humble are exalted. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who suffer today all over the world, suffering lives lost in the earthquake in Italy, floods in Louisiana, fires in Southern California and Lake County, refugees in Syria, and other places still all over the world, dear God. We ask that you bring peace so that those who suffer might know your presence imminently and immediately. We pray for the sick of this parish, for those mentioned out loud this morning, for those unmentioned but carried quietly in the privacy of our hearts, those suffering illness, addiction, depression, and all the challenges that come with living life fully. Bring healing, love, and comfort, Lord, in your mercy. And we pray for those celebrating this week, this month, new births and anniversaries, celebration of love and life, that you give to us in all stages of life. We give you thanks for the times in our life we call normal, for the sunrise and the sunset, for the bird outside the window, and for the air that we breathe and the water we drink. We give you thanks, Lord, in your grace. We pray for those who have died, our friends, our spouses, our parents, and grandparents, children, the ones we miss. We pray that you draw them near to you, O God. We give you thanks for the gifts that they continue to be in the resurrected life. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we offer these prayers in the name of the most compassionate one, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And let us bring our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.
Thank you.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for these gifts, and we ask that they would be used for our brothers and sisters in Christ as we share our lives. Amen. Now I ask on this closing hymn that we sing out and that we sing confidently. We're going to sing it through it twice. And if you're a member of the choir and you know that soprano part, I ask that you sing it also with life, and we show all of those lovely people who think there's only one way to do music that there's lots of ways to do good music. Kingdom of God and his righteousness.